On 90.5 WICN, closing out the set with Mr. Benny Golson and a very special recording with his take on Mac the Knife, and it's his funky quintet from the album That's Funky, released in 2000. NEA Jazz Master Benny Golson. He was celebrated with a Lifetime Achievement Award of the Jazz Journalists and among other recognition. I played his music for you as he is a favorite of my guest today, and I have Lisa Richards Tony here.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
So I had asked you to share some artists, and Benny Golson was among your favorites.
Yes, indeed. Benny Golson is, well, that's Uncle Benny to me, you have to understand.
Ah.
He's a dear friend of my family since they were young. His wife and my mom went to high school, and they were aunt and uncle to me growing up. And, you know, when I got old enough to really appreciate his music and his contributions to jazz and to music worldwide, I just felt really lucky that I had had a window into their life and just what it means to be an artist and to continue to strive and to achieve.
Mm.
And my dad is an artist, too, a musician. He's a jazz drummer.
Okay.
And so I grew up with this music, and it is very grounding to me. It's where the creativity comes. It's where the innovation comes. It is jazz. So
I hear you. It's so funny. Well, I'll talk a little bit about you because I want to introduce
sure.
your work to our listeners. But I was checking out Benny's history, and I didn't realize that he composed music for television shows like Mannix, Ironside,
yes.
Room 222, MASH, The Partridge Family, Mission Impossible. I know, that's what I'm saying. Is that amazing?
Yeah, I remember when I went out to L.A. for the first time, when they were living out there, I was 5, and he chased me. I got out of the car. He chased me with one of the fake rocks from a movie set, and I thought he was coming after me, and it was a bunch of cotton. Because he'd had these props, you know, from the set. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So, yeah, he definitely made his rounds. Bless him.
Well, folks, you are here on 90.5 WICN, Bonnie Johnson, bringing you the colors of jazz. And, again, my guest here is Lisa Richards-Toney. She is CEO and president of APAP. That's the Association of Performing Arts Professionals. It is an organization that I follow and annually travel down to New York for the APAP 365 conference that happens. But Lisa, in taking the reins or, you know, leading here, just joining in July, but bringing more than 20 years of experience, having worked with the Abramson Scholarship Foundation, the D.C. Commission on the Arts and Humanities, who we know is tied to the NEA Jazz Masters Awards that we so often speak of here on WICN. She's worked with Debbie Allen, leading her dance academy. Among other things, she is a Spelman College woman. Right?
Yes,
graduate of Spelman.
That's right.
NYU.
NYU, that's right.
All of your work led you to leading performing arts. I just wonder if you share with folks a little bit about just that path and your passion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bonnie. And thank you for inviting me. It's really nice to meet you and to be on air with you. I'll tell you this. It's funny you go back to my Spelman College days and then NYU. I have a funny story. I was a drama major and an English major at Spelman. I always did two things. I always had to keep two tracks running, you know. But I remember our director at the time, Glenda Dickerson, the late Glenda Dickerson. She said to us, who in here is really going to be an actor? And I hesitated. I looked around because I said, I'm saying to myself, will they find me out? Everybody stood up, and I was the lone person seated. And they just looked at me, you know, puzzled. They said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I told you, I'm going into arts management. I'm going. And so I've known this for a long time, even when I was very, very young, when I was growing up in Washington, D.C., dancing, theater, performing. I always felt that I needed to do it, and it was a wonderful mode of expression for me. Because I was a very shy child, and I needed that sense of self, sense of confidence, everything. If I hadn't had those experiences as a performer, I wouldn't be who I am today. But I had a quiet premonition, a quiet knowing that I would somehow, I wanted to go into the business of it all. And in those days, you know, we didn't always know what to call it. You know, I told the story to one of my dear mentors, Carol Foster. You know, thank you, Carol, as I said to her. She's in Washington, D.C. Thank you for making space at your desk to teach me the ropes of what this was. And I was very young, maybe 14, 15, 16.
Wow.
And so during those years, you know, I was taking myself out of shows. I'd go in and I'd do a show, and then they say, oh, you know, the next show. I say, yeah, actually, you know, I think I need to work on, you know, what it means to, we need to hire whoever we needed to bring in. I need to figure that out. I want to put my mind to it. I went to the Alvin Ailey School when I was 19, and they said, well, are you going to take this very seriously, Miss Lisa? And I said, well, what do you mean? And they said, well, are you going to stay? I said, no, I got to go back to college. and then I said, plus I'd like to talk, and I like to do a lot of other things. And so I struggled, like a lot of people in the arts, to just figure out what was going to be my best path. Little did I know, your path is what it's supposed to be. It's already written for you. I needed to experience all of that, performance, directing, arts education, everything. And I spent significant time doing each of it until it finally wrapped itself around me to have enough experience to really say, I know what it means to lead artists. I know what it means to work with them. I know what it means to work with the professionals who work on behalf of artists. And so I find myself in this role at APAP, which is really a privilege, and I'm so honored to have been selected to do this job at this time, really humbly looking about our field and the real challenge that we've faced, particularly in 2020, and the hope that we have on the horizon for 2021, really trying my hardest to remember those places when I had to listen to artists, understand where we were coming from, we meaning me. Really understand what it meant to be up against something and having to create in spite of. And that's where we are now. And I'm thankful because I feel connected still to it, even though I mostly sit behind my desk and do things in that way at this time. So I'm thankful for my past. And you never know. I still may end up on a stage in another 10 years. You just never know.
Oh, well, Lisa, I love your story, you know, and here on 90.5 WICN, I've been hosting Colors of Jazz for 10 years now, and your story so much resonates with me because it's so closely tied to mine. I guess, as a side note, and my listeners probably don't know much about me beyond playing the music, but coming into WICN and performing, speaking of D.C., where you grew up, I went to Howard University.
I know.
And I was there at the engineering school. So as a teenager, I was on the fast track into STEM, you know, science, technology. I'm very good at mathematics and science. And I went into the field. I'm a software engineer, you know, and I fast tracked myself, or I'm in the fast pace of being an innovator, but really found my voice. But always have been a DJ, like since I was a kid. But nobody ever said to me, Bonnie, you could go into communications or you could do this. I literally found it by chance. Like I wasn't seeking it. It just kind of fell into my lap. But now, like you, I know where I'm headed, you know, with all that I have done in technology and now with the arts and music.
What I hope that we all learn from this and at the APAP conference, which is an agenda setting conference about how we really are going to be ready to embrace our future, is that we are not so special. We are just like every other industry. We have workers, wage workers. We have gig workers. We have healthcare issues. We have housing issues. We have all these issues that make our issues rise to the top of the national agenda. And our advocacy work really needs to speak to that. We are so fortunate that we're getting out there now. We've got Save Our Stages. Thank you, Save Our Stages. And APAP was, you know, very supportive of that going forward. But the opportunity we have to really let people know that the cultural world is comprised of people who are workers, just like you, everyday people. And so it's really important that we begin to broaden our case statement and help people understand. It's an education process, and it's a sharing, and it's about bridging, you know. It's the creative cultural capital. We're talking about engineering. We're talking about the sciences. We're talking about creation. We're talking about innovation. We're talking about the creative economy. All those things make this industry work. And so the more that we can show, we can look to the left and look to the right and see ourselves reflected in so many things, I think the better we'll be.
Yeah, absolutely. And the cultural center, of course, has really taken a hit across the board. Nonprofit sector, well, speaking of jazz, there are many club closures around the country. Obviously, Broadway closed down. And then folks are seeing things virtually, but then there's this notion of virtual fatigue. And then it's how do you get folks to be willing to watch? And so I wonder how you are feeling about keeping active with the mission there at APAP.
Yeah, great point about virtual fatigue. And we're all virtual.
Yes.
Zoom fatigue, you know. Well, I am hopeful because, you know, as a service organization, APAP is a national organization. It's a huge umbrella organization. It holds constituencies within the arts of the most diverse business models. I mean, we've got the for-profits, we've got the not-for-profits, we've got artists, we've got other service organizations. I mean, it's just, it's a whole bucket, right? And it's not one kind. But what we have right now is an opportunity to be in service leadership. What people, because at the end of the day, this is about people. What people need is connection, and they need their people. They need to be with their people so that they can determine the solutions that will help them build back stronger.
Mm-hmm.
That cannot happen in a vacuum. That creativity, sometimes, you know, people have to go off on their own, but we have got to work together in a way that probably we haven't before, because it's the first time in my recollection that the decimation has been so universal. It's the first time that people who were riding high are now looking and saying, I don't have anything. What should I do? This is not the time to, you know, stomp one another. I'm in my lane. You're in the left lane. I'm in the right. This is the time to share, to open up resources, to do things differently and better. Everything we've done hasn't been right anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take the time to write it. And because at APAP we have that large umbrella, I hear the circumstances of so many. I hear the circumstances of agents and managers. I hear what they don't get because they're independent, if you will. I hear the circumstances of not-for-profit arts organizations that people assume they have they've got the donors and they don't have them right now. I hear so many different circumstances. So we have an opportunity to bring all of those people together and say, hey, guys, at this conference, for example, yes, we have showcasing. Yes, you can have a booth. But what I really would like everyone is to come to these field-wide conversations, because we need your voice on this, because this is agenda setting. This is building back. This is not business as usual.
Yeah.
So if you want to make sure that the things that you have come to bear, particularly in the last 6 months, 8 months maybe, that have come to bear, and you know it needs to be differently, then we all need to have that. And so APAP has our conference as its linchpin, but then we have year-round, we will have programming to support the big ideas that come from this. And the big ideas we're talking about, of course, how the industry will come up with new solutions and support the innovation and inspiration we need to have. But we're also talking about, you know, really key things about racial equity and climate change and health and wellness, because, again, we are workers. We are people. All the issues that affect everyone affect us, too.
Yeah.
But our solutions are our own. And so we have to come together and find them.
Absolutely. And on that note, speaking of collaborating, I want you to know that I have made several connections while at APAP and brought to life performances with partners who I actually met in New York at the conference. You know, that being musicians, presenters, the whole nine. One of the things I really love about your initiative right now is being ready. The acronym RACE, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, and raising that up. I did catch your Amplifying Voices, and Equity is now presentations, virtual presentations. And for folks out there, once again, Bonnie Johnson here, bringing you the colors of jazz. I'm talking with Lisa Richards-Tony. She is leading APAP. And you can find more information at APAP365.org. Go check out the conference and happenings. I understand you have some very interesting and very now keynote speakers.
We do. We have Dr. Anthony Fauci on Saturday, January 9th. that's going to be a very important topic. And he will be joined by Maureen Knighton from the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking to him, but yet through our lens, you know, when is it going to be safe for us to go back? How do we really know that? I mean, our success is because people are too crowded in a space, as they say, you know, shouting on everybody. You know, you oversold, right? You got everybody waiting. But that's like antithetical to what we think we should be doing. Mm. So what is it we can do? What is and when can we do it? And how do we use this time to prepare our spaces, to prepare in a different way, even mentally to prepare, mm-hmm. to get ready for that? We also have a Yo-Yo Ma, okay, uh-huh. coming as a closing plenary. And he is, I mean, one of the most inspirational artist workers ever. So it will be my delight to welcome him.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, it's not a huge conference in the way that APAP has traditionally been, with mm-hmm. like hundreds of sessions happening all over. I mean, we have Jan Arts, we have showcases happening. Mm-hmm. We have all these things still happening, and we kept our dates of January 8th through the 12th, which are traditional APAP dates, because this is the time you'd be in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of a focused opportunity, and we're also very practically aware of virtual fatigue. So we're trying to keep it tight mm-hmm. and focused, and the mental health piece is real. That Sunday,
huge, huh?
We spend a lot of time on mental health and what we can do and how we can continue to support ourselves and one another.
I love that.
It's a holistic experience, right? It's about, yes, we've got to do business. APAP helps people do business. That's a fact. You come to APAP, you want to build your network, you want to sell, you want to buy. We got it. But at the same time, what this moment has taught us is it's more about than doing business. It's about taking care of oneself so that you're able to do business either now, even though it's different and it's virtual and it's, you know, outdoors and it may be seasonal and all these pivoting things we have. But it's about taking care of yourself so that you can sustain.
Yeah, again, it's paramount. Performing arts is essential. Music is healing, and
it is.
We've got to be there for the people, for sure.
Yes.
Well, Lisa, there is a question I like to ask all my guests. Mm-hmm. I always ask the listeners, what color is influencing your day? You got a favorite color or something you're feeling?
Influencing my day? Man, let's see. Well, my favorite color is blue, and I'm sitting in my home office looking at one of my favorite paintings, which looks like it's in the tropics, but it's much too abstract to be so definitive. But it's like a turquoise, a sea green, and then some of cobalt blue, to be honest, thrown in there. And that's always grounding for me. I like blue. Mm. I like the calmness of it, and it's what I need surrounding me, because, you know, lots of things happen in a given day,
yes.
on any given Tuesday.
Mm.
And I have got to remain calm and at peace with just moving forward.
I hear you. A true hero, Lisa Richards.
Oh, well, thank you. We're all out here doing our best. I'm very fortunate. I have certainly worked hard in my 20-some-odd years of working in the field, but we all are working hard. Everybody is doing their part, and we all have a part to play. So I'm just thankful that I've been given the opportunity to play this part at this time.
All right. Well, I would agree wholeheartedly. Happy to have you. Congratulations once again. And thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having us. And best to all of us for 2021.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. You go do your thing. Enjoy the rest of your day off. And as you gear up for this
day
conference.
Off. Right.
Okay, and I will see you in cyberspace for sure.
I look forward to it, Bonnie.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay.
Thanks, Lisa.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.